As battles persist in Gaza and Ukraine, attention turns to the 50th anniversary of the conflict that tore apart the tranquil holiday island of Cyprus.
Unless the present flames are quenched, and quenched quickly, our deliberations will not be an inquiry, they will be an autopsy.
The fact that we are not dying at the moment is something that we are lucky about in an area surrounded by fire and blood. Should remind us that this is a very dangerous situation.
Both sides, they want to protect their own killers. Both sides try to prove that the other is to blame, whether this is the philosophy.
Generational trauma is real and profound in so many ways and on so many levels.
Unless it is self-defense, war is suicide.
Welcome to Nicosia Uncut. Today we have special guests. We have the producers of this new production, the documentary called The Divided Island, Jay and Andy. We are so happy to have them. They are both Cypriots. They are based in the UK and they want to do something for Cyprus. What is The Divided Island? Jay, you want to start?
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure. Firstly, thank you for having us on the show. It's something that I've been listening to for a number of years. And I think the work you guys do is fantastic. So yeah, massive thank you for what you guys are doing. The Divided Island is a feature length documentary that explores the Cyprus problem with a specific eye on the trauma that both Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots experienced. And it was a project that had always been on the back of our minds, something that we wanted to make from a long time, kind of since we were teenagers, really. We talked about the Cyprus problem and we didn't quite understand why this beautiful island was divided, why we'd go to our summer holidays and both be on separate sides of a divide. And after sort of 15 years of asking curious questions about our ancestral home, we decided to tackle the challenge that is making a film about Cyprus with exploring the trauma from both sides and both perspectives and trying to really maybe bring a different viewpoint that hadn't been explored, especially from a British Cypriot point of view.
I mean, it is okay to make, let's say, movies and fictions and everything, but don't you think handling a historical period or Cyprus is a bit sensitive? How did you decide that you would be doing something that will actually give a positive spin, a contribution, if I may, to the whole discussion rather than starting new, endless discussions?
So thanks for having us again. We really appreciate it. And why we decided to tackle it is because we felt that war actually is very nuanced. You know, a lot of things can happen during a period of time, and a lot of, like, growing up, how we heard the story, you know, the perpetrators and the victims could have been different at different points in time. This is why we thought, like, it's far more complicated than people think, and the timeline of when events happen make a huge difference to the story. And that was the goal when we kind of devised the documentary, to really, you know, look at it in four dimensions, basically, rather than just kind of black and white.
This is why it was kind of a very good occurrence for us to have you these days, because we are in the days of the very ugly anniversaries in the Cyprus problem, or some of the ugly anniversaries in the Cyprus problem. the Tsar, we've got the 20th of July Turkish invasion. So, and because I am sure we've mentioned this before in this podcast, we kind of were, not from the beginning, but you engaged with us very early on. And I remember you introducing yourselves to us and telling us this, telling us, you know, we are a Greek Cypriot and a Turkish Cypriot of diaspora. We met in London. And through our experiences and through us now currently kind of coexisting in London and working together, you wanted to create something for your homeland. And you wanted to offer something that would go beyond the, let us say, the dominant narrative, or let us say the single-sided narrative, because it's very often we can tell a Greek Cypriot narrative from a Turkish Cypriot narrative. The question is, where is a Cypriot narrative in all this? Where is a narrative that kind of appreciates that, as Andy said, you've got, at different times, you have people being victims. At different times, you had people being perpetrators. You have external powers involved. And this kind of creates this perplexing picture. And so for us, it's very good to have you here today, because we feel that what you did kind of resembles the way forward in a way that we also envision the way forward, embracing our past, embracing our trauma, and seeing how we can move forward. So how has this experience been for you when it comes to actually shooting the film? I mean, you were touching on a very thorny ground, a ground in which anyone involved with the Cyprus problem knows that it's all about the words that you're using. It's all about the terminology that you're using. How did you go about this?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a challenging one. We, you know, discuss the approach at length and also just learn of people like yourselves, you know, how you guys deal with it, the terminology you use, how it can be triggering. The 20th of July, you know, the terminology around that is triggering for many people. And we approached it with sensitivity, that we tried to approach it with empathy. We didn't want to put people off by not speaking to us. You know, we wanted to get interviews with people that might have drastically different opposing views. But for us, having that dialogue with people that might have, you know, a very warped version of the history or a nationalistic version of the history is key. You know, that discussion is so important. And we really made it a strategic decision to try and get a varied political viewpoints within the film with the people that we interviewed. So that's one way. And the other way was really just when you're talking to people about, you know, those that have lost land, or they've lost loved ones, or they still haven't been able to bury their loved ones. This is incredibly personal, traumatic experiences that they've lived through and are still living the pain of that trauma. So you have to approach that with the right sensitivity and trust. And that's really by, you know, spending the time with them before anything is shot on camera, you know, allowing them to understand our stories, our personal experience of the Cyprus problem and the trauma that maybe our families have been through. And I think that was an approach that we took with the people that we were interviewing.
So the documentary has people talking about their personal experiences, and I think it's very valuable. And to put a little bit of a personal spin into it, I think we are also somehow engaged in the documentary, because we are in the documentary. Andromahi, you are in the documentary, I'm in the documentary. In Cyprus, everybody has multiple heads. But let's remember that you were shooting the documentary when we actually launched our podcast. So just wanted to underline, remind everyone that some of the visuals, the pictures, the photos that we are using for our podcast were actually shot at the time when you were shooting the documentary. So, you know, The Divided Island has a special place in our hearts because it talks about our own personal stories as well, you know, and it talks about in a humanitarian way. And when I watched it, it was very emotional for me as well. because despite the personal experiences of the people who have experienced a lot of pain and then all the traumas that they had to go through, you kind of, I don't want to, you know, talk a lot about if people should watch, but you actually place us in a point where you kind of portray some hope for the future. And we take pride in this because despite us being optimistic and pessimistic occasionally, I think the fact that there are people like you, like us, who talk about something good for our people, for our country, I think it's essential. My question here on that point, I mean, what kind of personal reactions have you received? Like, there are those who have never experienced all this trauma, maybe the younger generations. There are those in the UK who heard it from their parents or grandparents. What did the people tell you?
So the film was designed to bring a big audience into the screen. You know, Turkish Cypriots, Greek Cypriots, British, people from all over the world. And the film has themes as well that are very poignant today when you're looking at the wars that are happening in the world as well. So it brings in another layer of an audience there. The feedback that we've had has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, a lot of people, you know, who lived on the island, grew up on the island, even they said to us, like, they've learned a lot about actually, like, what happened. The younger audiences were like, you know, it wasn't just as simple as we thought it was. There was more to this. We also had audiences from Greek and Turkish side saying that the film was biased in either way as well. You know, and this, I think, believe it comes with the territory of creating a film like this. But yeah, it's been overwhelmingly very, very positive. And we've had some really, really nice, beautiful moments from people after they've watched it breaking down, you know, like thanking Jay, you know, for making this film, all sorts of kind of reactions. So it's been great. It's been great to see. And from a British perspective as well, like, a lot of people in Britain as well have just found it fascinating to see this, like, in a documentary that's so comprehensive.
Yeah, I think one thing I want to add to that is one of the most chilling moments for me that gave me goosebumps was a Turkish Cypriot gentleman come up to me after a screening, and he just broke down crying and gave me a cuddle. And he said to me, "Now I know why my mum and dad were the way they were. Now I know why they had the issues they had, because we explore trauma in a way that I don't think has been explored before on this subject. And by putting the Greek Cypriot and Turkish Cypriot trauma side by side, really wanted to highlight the humanity of it. And that when you see the pain of a mother grieving a child that they haven't been able to bury, or, you know, a sibling lost or a parent lost, you don't end up seeing, the Greek Cypriot or Turkish Cypriot. You just see the mother. You just see the sister, the brother, the friend. And when people come up to us afterwards and, you know, give us that sort of feedback, you realize it's all worth it. And all the criticisms you receive, and look, we do get criticism, a lot of online criticism mostly, rather than in-person criticism. And it's mostly around, you didn't say this part of the history, or you didn't say this part of the history. And it's, in 90 minutes, we can't cover 60 years of history. But we tried to have the right amount of overview in terms of the history to give the personal stories the platform to make sense. And I believe we achieved that.
Yeah, I think you did well, Jay. And as Kemal and I know very well, there is nothing you can say to satisfy some people, you know. You might, and I think that's something that anyone who speaks about the Cyprus problem very often gets called to face. But that's it. That's okay. I think we should be focusing more on the overwhelming positive comments that you got. And in all honesty, I think that this is what the narrative on the Cyprus problem is missing. And it's what you said. It's the humanity of it, Jay. I remember I was reading a story about this woman who had died, and she had her husband and son. I think they were missing people from the troubles, or, you know. And up to the and this woman, this was a reference in a book, and this woman had written, and the book was writing that this woman had written on her grave, "If you find my husband, bury him next to me." And I remember the person writing the book, they were saying that up to this day, we don't know if it was a Greek Cypriot or a Turkish Cypriot woman who had written that on her grave. It you know, it's kind of a testimony, but we don't know. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because the moment you kind of embrace the pain and the sorrow that this island has gone through, you just, all you're interested about is not repeating the same mistakes of the past. And I would be very pleased, especially to hear the reaction from the younger generation, from the people who are not in touch with this, who haven't been through these events, and from the people who are actually born and raised through this with the stories of this issue.
Yeah, I mean, I can touch on that actually, in a sense of that we've done multiple screenings in the UK, and most of our feedback has come from the UK diaspora and in-person feedback. And the audiences were mixed, like Andy said, young, old, Greek Cypriot, Turkish Cypriot, British, Indian, you know, such cultural mix came to our screenings. If I was to generalize the younger audience, it's been incredible with the younger audience, because so many people would come up to us and say, look, I knew something wasn't right about, you know, what I learned from whether it was their school or their grandparents, but I didn't quite know, you know, how to go about finding information on it. So to see it in the divided island has really opened their eyes. For some of the older generation, those that, when I say older generation, they might have been, you know, a child in 1974. For some, it's been hard to get past their trauma. Their trauma is so visceral that they don't want to believe that there could be parallel suffering from who they've seen as the enemy. And we have had a bit of that reaction, and we try to have empathy with that reaction. For others, you know, we had the reaction of, you know, people in their 60s turning around and saying to us, oh, I never knew what happened to the Turkish Cypriots in the 60s. That's helped us make so much sense of why things ended up the way they did. You know, and that was such a important thing for us, because that idea of enemy, that idea of, you know, I think one of you two say it actually, I think maybe Andromache, you say, we don't want to put pain on a pedestal. And that line really resonates with me, that we weren't trying to put pain on a pedestal. We just wanted to put pain side by side. And then, you know, hopefully that would make people see things differently. But for some people, the trauma is so big that it's hard to look at the other side's pain, because what they've experienced is still at the forefront of their mind. But then there's other people that have experienced insane amounts of trauma, and the only thing that's coming out of them is pure empathy and love. So it's a real mixture.
I have some difficult questions, personal questions as well. So identity is a very complex thing, right? I mean, you guys are, you know, you can define yourselves as British, you can define yourselves as Turks and Greeks, you can define yourselves as Cypriots, you can define yourselves as Greek Cypriots, Turkish Cypriots. I think it's also quite personal, right? And first question, is it possible to build a common future by acknowledging and accepting all those different identities in Cyprus? And in relation to that, is it really possible to talk about, you know, Cyprus for all Cypriots? Is it really possible to talk, to see Cyprus as a separate entity? Not necessarily a negative thing, but something that really brings together those different identities. I mean, Andy, maybe you want to start this time. And how do you define yourself in the diaspora? And after, have you started seeing things differently in yourself, in your personal experience, in terms of identity, after you completed this documentary?
That's a very good question. So I would definitely classify myself, if someone asked me, I say I'm Greek Cypriot. You know, and there's many people who have said to me, no, you're just Cypriot, you know, this is the problem and all of this. And for me, being Greek Cypriot is more than just, you know, it's like the culture, it's the food, it's, you know, it's your heritage, it's, you know, things that you're familiar with, like all of these things for me make up, you know, I'm proud of that Greek culture, you know. I'm also very proud to be British as well, you know, because I've grown up here, this country's given me many things as well. So I see myself as Greek Cypriot, you know, but I also, you know, really saw just through working with Jay, also just from growing up on the going to the island a lot, you know, like just how similar Greek and Turkish Cypriots are as well, you know. So I think there is a place for everyone, and I think Turkish Cypriots should celebrate their Turkishness as well, you know, if that's something that's important to them. Yeah, the way I try and look at it as well is like I was born in the UK, right? And if someone 30 years later come to me and said, look, you don't belong here because of my Greek heritage, my Greek Cypriot heritage, where I've raised a family here, I've been a taxpayer here, I've, you know, built, you know, my life here, basically. That's how I try and, like, look at this whole situation with, you know. So it doesn't matter if, like, things changed through empires 400 years ago or anything like that. To me, your home, you don't have a say in the matter when you're born in it. You know, it just is what it is. That's how I kind of see things.
Yeah, I mean, I would start by saying I totally agree with you in the sense of this is a real personal matter. So if someone identifies as a Greek-speaking Cypriot, a Turkish Cypriot, a Turk of Cyprus, a Greek of Cyprus, it's up to them. It's up to them, and I think we should respect that. And I think respecting that is going to help with creating unity. And I actually believe in embracing the diversity of what makes someone a Cypriot as well. You know, that is constantly changing. You know, now we'll be, you know, talking about beyond that, the Latins, the Romas, the Ukrainian, Israeli, Russian. You know, there's so many different amalgamations of what it is to be a Cypriot now, but yeah, loving that land, connecting with that land isn't just based on your DNA, in my opinion. Me personally, I identify as a Turkish Cypriot. Again, this is one of those questions that we get asked a lot at the Q&As. But I believe it's key to embrace the Turkish and Greek parts and the Latin parts and the Roman parts and the Maronite parts of our identities, because the entire region of the Levant is connected. I mean, I have this interesting debates with Greek and Turks from the mainland. Are Greeks and Turks not connected through culture, through music, through food? So, you know, I don't see it as something that we should be removing. You can't remove it. It's, you know, my name is a Turkish name. What am I meant to do? Just remove it? I can't, you know, you can't. It's part of who you are. But at the same time, if someone just wants to identify as a thoroughbred Cypriot, I'm okay with that as well.
I think here it's also important to kind of, and it's something we keep discussing in this podcast and in everything we do, you know, that as Kemal said, identity is such a sensitive matter that nobody can really touch it. Like, is your identity going to be influenced if you watch a documentary in which you realize that, oh, Turkish Cypriots also suffered on the island? Or is a Greek Cypriot who feels Greek? He feels he's Greek. Is his Greekness going to be influenced if he acknowledges that in his country there are also people who feel Turks or who have a Turkish origin? Is this, and this kind of goes to show as to, and that is also important to put it in the discussion, because it also goes to show us to what kind of a future we want. Do we want a future in which we are going to lose this common island and, like, position each other against each other and try to protect our Greekness or our Turkishness? Or can we work towards creating a common homeland, a united homeland, in which all identities can flourish under the constitution and under the patriotism towards your constitution? And if you can accept to be Cypriot, and then your ethnic origin is not going to be touched, and it needs to be respected in any framework, in any case. So we need to put these discussions on the table, and we need to make it clear that if we start discussing the issue either of the past or of our future, we are not touching upon identities, and we don't, and nobody can influence that. I think that's also important to be said, because people become very protective and self-defensive when such issues arise. But we need to tell them that when we speak of reunification, nobody speaks of erasing the identities of people.
Yeah, spot on, spot on. And I think growing in Britain, we have a bit of a different experience on this subject matter. And that's probably fed into the work that we do. I do think our voice as British Cypriots is an interesting one. I do think it's affected the narrative of the divided island. And look, we're united by our Britishness as well. So we're united by our Cypriotness. We're united by our Britishness. And in Britain, we've had a prime minister of Indian heritage. We've had a prime minister of Scottish heritage. We've had female prime ministers, English. So, you know, meritocracy, you can rise to the top depending on, you know, it doesn't matter your ethnicity in the UK. You know, and that's like, but we're all united with our Britishness. And that's something that I would personally hope for Cyprus as well.
Let's talk about the documentary. So there were private screenings, and you actually screened them in festivals, in occasional events. But now it is accessible to everyone. You want to explain how people will be able to watch it. Of course, we're going to write it down as a part of this podcast when we're posting it, but it's better if we hear from you as well.
Sure. Well, yeah, happy to. I mean, we released in UK cinemas in 2024, which was amazing. We showed in big chains in Cineworld, Odeon. It was fantastic. We had many sold out screenings. So that was the first place people watched it. We are now on Amazon Prime in the UK. So that's just for UK only. But if you want to watch it globally, we're on a platform called Video On Demand, and that can be watched anywhere in the world. You can watch it on your phone, on your laptop, or you can stream it to your TV, and you can rent or buy it there. And any of the rental or purchase money goes back to us paying for the expensive bills it took to make the film. But we also are showing at the South London Film Festival on the 20th of July, actually, which we're doing a Q&A there. And we're proud of the awards we won at the festivals. For the Cyprus International Film Festival, we won Best Cinematography and Best Film Promoting Peace. And yep, we just won at the South London Film Festival as well. So not only are we getting, you know, industry recognition, but we're getting recognition by these big platforms giving us the opportunity to show the film.
So we had Kemal and Andromaya also featured in the documentary. Aren't they a bit out of touch? Like, they're talking about all this hope and everything, but the world is not necessarily a very beautiful place. So how do you feel about the future of Cyprus? I mean, do you see any hope? Do you think that things can be done for the future? How do you see these things? Maybe again, Andy, you want to start this time?
Yeah, I do see hope for the island, because I think the younger generation are going to be key to changing things. And I think the more educated they can be about, you know, what happened on the island, and the more I think they'll see the humanity in the story within this film that we made. The island itself, obviously, just demographically, I think is very strategically placed in the middle of the Mediterranean to always be a bit of a hotbed of, you know, like, perfectly strategic for around Europe, you know, everywhere. So I worry about the island's position just with the bases and with things that happen in, like, in Israel and that. But yeah, my hope for the future will be that it will be on young people's shoulders to start changing the kind of old ways of doing things.
Okay, my turn to answer what is a difficult question. Look, you guys are a key component of the film. The first 60 minutes are quite a difficult watch because we go through the trauma of the 50s and 60s and 70s. But by the time we get to you guys, we wanted to show fantastic work that Cypriots can do when they work together. and the positive actions that are happening on the ground, then it's not just you guys. Obviously, there's many Cypriots, you know, that for many decades have been trying to create bicommunal activities and create empathy, understanding, education. And I believe film is the most powerful medium. I really do. It can move people emotionally like ways they're not even aware of. And that's why we made The Divided Island. So, you know, the more people that see this film, hopefully we can create a bit of a movement. We really believe that it has the power to create a movement. And like Andy said, you know, the next generation might, if the politicians allow us to have another referendum, then maybe with the next generation that have a different viewpoint, that a viewpoint that is a bit more empathy based, we might get different results. So yeah, I'm an optimist. Do I see things changing in the near future? None. Everything in Cyprus seems to move at a slower pace. but yeah, I am an optimist, and I believe in the power of change, and I believe in the power of art and grassroots movements to make change.
You know, Jay, I remember the day we were shooting, I remember walking in old Nicosia with Kemal, and I remember telling him, because it was ugly days. Well, it's only been ugly days for the Cyprus problem since 2017. But it was, you know, if you remember, crossing points were closed then or very difficult to move around. Things, that was the case at least once when you came. And I remember discussing with Kemal how we were thinking, imagine if this movie becomes released and the Cyprus problem like has collapsed or it doesn't exist, or we are, I don't know, immersed in something completely negative. And well, it has been released. We are not, well, things are not good. But I think that we need to be in a position to acknowledge that, yes, very slowly, but things are moving. And the fact that such a movie gets to be produced and shown and discussed is an example of the fact that things could move towards a different direction. Having said that, it will always be our question why such endeavors are not taken up at a more state level or at a more at the level of the authorities. I mean, if you are a country that is interested in creating peace, that is interested in working on your trauma, shouldn't you be in a position to at least embrace an understanding of your past that will not be so one-sided? We are still lacking there. And that's the constant question. But I'm very happy that we get to have this discussion around these thorny days for Cyprus, because it kind of shows the way forward, really.
It's been 51 years since the events of 1974, 61 years since the intercommunal fighting started, and we can drag this forever. And I think despite all the pains and all the sufferings, I think it is time for Cypriots to realize that, one, Cyprus is a country that can host different identities and different backgrounds and ethnicities, as long as people embrace this beautiful country as a piece of land that they want to live on, that they can grow their children, that they can have a future on. And being part of the divided island has been one of the most proudest moments of my life. So thank you very much for doing this. And I'd like to remind everyone, just Google The Divided Island or look at the links that we're going to provide you, or even, you know, reach out to us. I think it's important to look at Cyprus and Cyprus problem maybe from a different angle. And I think it's very important to start thinking this country not only as a part of a global fight, but as a beautiful place where flowers can blossom, where people can prosper together. So your last words before we finalize the podcast, guys. Thank you very much, by the way.
Just thank you. I mean, that's a moving tribute to hear that you're so proud to be featured in it. And we're so proud to have both of you guys be featured in it. But not just that, I've learned a lot as someone who loves the island, loves my ancestral home. I'll keep learning from you guys as well. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, big thank you. And what an endorsement there. That was lovely to hear. It's been a great journey so far, and hopefully more and more people as well are inspired to create and do things around Cyprus, because it is such a beautiful island and the people in it are beautiful as well. So hopefully we could just showcase more of that story.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to work with you. It's been a pleasure to be with you along this journey from the beginning. And we wish you all the best in everything you do from now on. All the best with this movie. And we hope that at some point you will get to create a movie that will be sharing more positive stories, or that will be shedding light on something, on a story of success and on a story of positivity. So thank you so much for everything. And thank you for leaving this behind. It is something very important.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus. Island Talks. Open. Diverse. Free.